You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday. God bless you guys. You're tuning into God's frequency here now. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday with me as we do exactly that. We're looking at Moses here on the WGOD radio program. First of all, before we continue with this sermon and hear the rest of it, I invite you guys to church tonight. We are studying the book of Colossians. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up, and we're having an excellent time every Wednesday night. You are invited. We'd love to see you. If you're able to attend in person, Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet tonight, Wednesdays at 6, Sunday mornings at 10:30. So if it's Wednesday here at 5:30, we broadcast. You guys still have 30 minutes to make it to church tonight. We would love to see you for our service. A little bit more casual than a Sunday morning. It's open for questions, hopefully answers. We roll out the blackboard. So we would love to see you tonight. Okay, here we go. This is part two now. We're looking at Moses. We're in a little mini series here on the character study on Moses, the man of God. We started off looking at his birth and how the Jews ended up in Egypt. This week, we're starting looking at the burning bush, but what we're really going to look at is the holiness of God. We're going to look here today at why God told Moses to take his shoes off. And we're going to look at the holiness of God and how God, well, he's going to tell us here coming up in this message. So I won't tarnish it with my words. Let's listen to his words. It's an awesome look here at the holiness of God, and that those who come to him must regard him as holy, and he must be glorified. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. So notice that. First off, Moses made three decisions here. To stop, that is, stop dead in his tracks. He stopped going. He's so busy. We're all so busy. Sometimes it seems like we never stop. You got to stop. He stopped first. Then he turned aside and look and see what it was. Stop, turn, look. When you find God working somewhere, you got to stop what you're doing and turn aside. And you know what? God seems to be working right here. Let me stop and have a look at this. Secondly, notice how God waits for Moses to move. He was there all the time. But it says there, when the Lord saw, you see that, verse 4? When the Lord saw that he stopped at his busy life and turned and went back, he says, you know, I see God working over here. Let me stop and have a look-see over here and see. I don't want to miss God. So let me see what's going on over here. When the Lord saw him do that, so God waits for Moses to move. And if I could give you some personal application today, it would be this. Is there a burning bush somewhere in your life? The burning bush is the presence of God. God waits for you to stop what you're doing and to turn back and look. He's waiting on you to stop, to turn, and look. You see, God's in this ministry that he wants you to be involved in. He's there. He's there the whole time. He's waiting on you to stop and turn and look. He's been there all along. He's waiting on you. He's been there all along. Is God working in your life in a particular place? Or better yet, does he want to work in a particular place, but he's waiting on you to turn aside, maybe? He's there all along. He's just waiting on you. Whatever it is in your life. Now, perhaps these instances, and I would say they are rare in your life, as it was for Moses. Moses waited 40 years for this. Reminds me of the song. I know the ladies know it. I think I've heard it. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Now, when the presence of the Lord is with you, more often than not, he's going to lead you, or he's going to call you to do something. He's going to lead you or call you to serve him in some way or another. Now, I don't have this written down, but I feel right now the Lord's saying that he calls me as a senior pastor of this church to find out where the glory of God is somewhere, and have I moved past it to lead this church? Is it burning somewhere and I've been too busy and have missed it? Might be time for a little fasting on my part and a little praying, because I don't want to miss the ministry of God. Not when I'm accountable for you. I don't want to miss that. I'm accountable for you. Imagine the joy. I mean, there is no greater thing than being in the center of God's will. I don't know of anything in this world that is better than being in the center of God's will. That's what I call the Midas touch. When everything that you touch turns to gold, when you're in the center of God's will. Easy for me to preach this, but now he's got my attention here now. This is where I'm going to be this week. I want to make sure I haven't walked past this. I have to see if I need to turn aside somewhere and have a look and see if God is working somewhere that he wants this church to be involved in. More on that coming up too in a few weeks. Now Jacob received his vision, Genesis chapter 8, chapter 28, Jacob's ladder, or as I like to call it, Jacob's escalator. Paul caught the vision on the road to Damascus. My advice to you is to go to wherever the burning bush is, or go to where the presence is and listen for his voice. And his voice is a still, small voice. It's never loud. And here with Moses, once God sees that Moses took the first step, then and only then did God speak to Moses. Let me repeat that. Once God sees that Moses took the initiative, then God spoke to him. Verse 4 again. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So God says to him, don't even come near me, is what he says. Don't even come near me. Moreover, he says, meaning it's not done yet. Moreover, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look upon God. And you and I would be too, that is, afraid to look upon God. Isaiah cried out when he saw him, and he said, "Woe is me, for I'm ruined. My face, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The Apostle John said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." Revelation 1:17. Remember that next time you see a book on the New York Times bestseller list of how so-and-so went up to heaven, yucked it up with God for a little bit, and then returned, and for $59.95, you can learn all about it. The main point I'm saying to you and the message of this sermon today is not so much the burning bush. The message to you today is this: God is holy. That's my message today. God is holy. He told Moses to take his shoes off. That's what's important out of this text. He told him to take his shoes off. This is what God wants you to learn from the burning bush passage, is God says, take your shoes off, friend. You got dead animals on your feet. No matter what your shoes look like, Buster Brown or Dan Post, take your shoes off. Now turn to the next book in your Bible, Leviticus. Flip over, next book. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 1. This is where God wants this message to go today. It's not so much the burning bush, the message from God to all of you today is God saying, take your shoes off. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now these two sons of Moses' brother, Aaron, served the Lord in the sanctuary. Let's call Aaron the senior pastor, to put in modern vernacular. And these two sons, they'd be Uncle Moses' nephews. These two sons have decided to have their own worship service in a new way, their way. Perhaps they weren't happy with how they were holding church there. So we're going to have our own service, and we're going to do it our own way. That would be the backdrop for this text. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they each took his censer. Now, unless if you grew up like me, Episcopalian, Sharon's Episcopalian, maybe you're Catholic, the censer was the thing on Christmas and Easter. They'd put incense in it and they'd swing it, and it just filled the church with this awesome aroma, is what this censer was. So Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they each took a censer and put fire in it and put incense in it, and they offered, now it says profane, but that Hebrew word zur, it means strange, or it's a Hebrew word for a stranger. It also means unauthorized. Something that's outside of what has been prescribed is what this word zur means. So let's call it unauthorized. So they took their censer, put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire or burning of incense before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went down from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, you see, I told you. Moses said to Aaron, he said, take your shoes off around here. That's what he says, proverbially speaking. He says, this is what I told you. I told you God is holy.
You better be careful how you approach him, you see. He said, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near, now catch the two musts here. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Before all the people, I must be glorified. So, in other words, he says, I warn you about this. Notice again the two musts here. Number one, you must regard God as holy. Number two, you must give God all the glory. All the glory. All the glory is due him. He is worth and worthy of all the glory. It's right. It's rightfully his and his alone. And those that approach me must regard him in this way. And don't say, well, that's just the grandfatherly smite of the Old Testament. Because we're going to see what they do today here coming up at the end of this sermon. If you think that's old and Jesus is nice now and that's just, no, it's muck. Now get that out of your head. God is holy. He said, remember, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because God's holy. He's still holy. And by those that approach him, must regard him this way. Back to this text here. So, look what it says there. So Aaron held his peace. Verse 4, Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near and carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near. Look what it says. And they carried them by their tunics. I wanted to bring in a couple hoodies today so you could catch what this must have looked like. So he grabbed them by their tunics, little hoods on them, you know. But can't you just picture that? I mean, here is these crispy critters down here, a smoking corpse, and they take them and grab them by the hood with their feet, leaving them lines in the sand, just dragging them out, smoking. And Moses said, this is what I told you. I warned you about this, you see. I warned you about this. God is holy, and those that approach him must regard him as holy, and also you must give him all the glory. He's worthy of all the glory. All we can do is just bow the knee and call him Lord and receive him and thank God that he made a provision for us as sinners and sent his son to die on the cross so that we can be called like Abraham. We sing the song sometimes. I am the friend of God. Jesus made all that possible. So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. Now, not only that, verse 6 now. So Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes. You know what that means? Huh? Don't cry about it. Don't mourn is what this means. They tear their clothes. Not only does this happen, he said, if you mourn over this happening, you're next. And all the people too. Let's keep reading here. So Moses said to Aaron, Eleazar, and Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your head nor tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren and the whole house of Israel, let them bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. So, to put in modern vernacular, it's all right for all the people to mourn, but the leaders can't mourn. the leaders, the pastor, the senior pastor of this church, whose two kids are smoking down here on the ground. And apparently he's got his family here in worship, right? Because Aaron's uncles are part of the worship team and the praise and the offering team. You guys can't mourn. And if you mourn, same thing's going to happen to you. But all you guys, you can. Wow is right. And all we could say is, remember, by those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy. I must. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And you can't get upset about it. So, we're out of time today. These are some of the reasons why we see and hear what we do. Why God said to Moses, take the shoes off of your feet. Shoes are made of leather, animal skins. And the place where you stand is holy. Take the dead animals off of your feet before you approach me, because I cannot be near something or anyone that's dead, is what he's saying. Church, this is why I have such a problem with flippant church services or the flippant partaking of Holy Communion. Out of fear, really, fear for the people. Now, our last text, we're not going to have time to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. If you guys want to read it some other time. I've taken communion the wrong way. I'll do what I did last week. I'll say I'm going to skip this, but let's not skip it. We'll read it anyway, right? I mean, who's in a hurry, right? I mean, I only got you guys 90 minutes out of 168 hours in a week. All right, good. We've come to an agreement that I'll read it. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, my translation says, irreverently, same as these guys, will be guilty of the body and guilty of the blood of the Lord. Now, who wants to see that gavel go down like that? Not a charge that you want to hear today. But then again, from the looks of this, it looks like I would be the one accountable for this. And if that happened, that would fall on me. And Darren wouldn't be allowed to shed a tear about it. Or his wife. Everyone else could, but not him. Then he says, but a man must examine himself. And in so doing, he's to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks, that's for doing this irreverently. He who eats and drinks judgment to himself. King James says, eats and drinks damnation to himself. That's probably where Indiana Jones got this from. You have chosen poorly. Because he doesn't judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have died. I take my hat off sometimes to the Catholic Church because they got this one right. This is why they won't flippantly give out communion to people, because they take this verse serious, and I take my hat off to them for that, because God is holy. Now, with that in mind, we'll stop here. Remember, God did not instruct Moses to take his shoes off like your mother might ask you to take yours off, or for the same reasons that your grandmother might have plastic wrap on the sofa. Does anyone still have plastic wrap on their sofas? So Cheryl knows what up. No? No one? How about you, Sue? A plastic wrap on the sofa? No. But the reason God demands it is like Moses told his brother, by those who approach me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So, if you take that with you today, then I've done my job today. Those who come near to me, God says, must regard me as holy. Now, since the completion of the Bible, we know exactly what is said up in heaven. Right now, as we speak, we don't have to wonder. And it's being spoken by what I like to call God's bodyguards. He's got four bodyguards that surround him in heaven. And this is what they say, Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. It says, before his throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had a face of a man, the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, now let me read the rest out of my translation. Holy, 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 holy. Most Greek manuscripts read holy nine times, not three. Is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. Praise God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon all of you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you back next week in God's house.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.